WOMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on fireitupwithcj.com and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with you today on CBS New Sky Radio, New Horizons, No Boundaries. And I'm here with CJ today, and we have two great guests. We have a dating coach, Tyler Young, and a shamanic healer, I hope I said that right, Christina Pratt. And today we're going to be talking about if we found Mr. Right in love, and it's a great month for it. So, and a great week. We're going to get started with CJ today. Real quick, CJ, before we go to you, I want to give everyone your website. It's fireitupwithcj.com, and it's the same thing for her Facebook, Fire It Up with CJ. She has great articles on there. There's some on our website, and it will take you right over to her. So I think if you could take a few minutes to go over and read, she has an article, The Power of Our Heart, and another one, Do You Want to Find Love? And I know everyone who is listening wants to find love. If they haven't found it already, they're looking to find it. So please take a minute and go to her website so you can read those articles, and then you can do that while you're listening to the show.
I love that. Multitasking.
Exactly. That's why we have these great big computers, right?
Exactly. Hi, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and welcome to the Fire It Up with CJ show. Thank you for the lovely introduction, as always, Cassandra. So, you know what? My esthetician, who is in her 30s, has been doing online dating for a while. And it seems when you're on online dating, there's a question on, like, when do I pull the trigger and actually see this person that I've been corresponding with via email? And then I then followed her journey, and she said, well, now that I've been seeing this guy two or three times, I don't feel any sparks, but should I still continue? And, you know, I was pretty, as kind of a hardcore, kind of rational, I was probably an awful person to date, but I had a couple criteria. Do I feel any romantic attraction? If no, you're gone. If you don't make any logical sense to me, I'm like, I don't see a future with us. You're gone. And then my criteria changed over time. It was, is this person smart and funny? And then if you're not, you're gone. And then my criteria just started changing to, like, are you a nice human being? And it wasn't because I was getting more desperate. I think I was becoming more enlightened.
So. As you get older and more mature and your brain more intelligent, I think the things we were attracted to in our 20s is not what we're attracted to now.
Yeah.
We're better.
Yes, we're smarter. We're smarter. We know a little bit more about Mr. or Mrs. Wright. And so we have Tyler Young. Welcome, Tyler.
How's it going?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to hear. Maybe you can help answer the question that my my esthetician asked me about how we know. And tell me, is it any different than what I had in my 20s and 30s?
I think you're really on point there. I think that, you know, as we mature, you know, our tastes definitely change. And I think there's, you know, a reality to what we're really looking for a long-term mate versus, you know, what's kind of right in front of us and what's okay with right now. And so, you know, attractiveness will definitely evolve and it'll change. And I think when you kind of have that criteria, and that discernment, if you will, I think you become more attractive because you're not just opening the door to it's possible, you know, this is okay, but this isn't so great. That usually doesn't get better over time. So I think you're right on, CJ.
So what are some of the criteria that you use personally, or that you ask your clients to consider, or is it individual to each person?
Well, it's so tough because men and women approach it so differently. So a man's going to approach it logically. He's going to think about, what do I see and do I like what I see? You know, obviously, you know, men are a little bit more looking for that visual appeal, and the rest can kind of come later. A woman's going to use, you know, her thoughts in a different way. She's going to hopefully listen to her instinct and her feelings and use her feelings as a way to kind of judge if it's right or not. Ideally, you want to kind of get it down to the one focal thing that I think everyone knows, and that's, you know, is there chemistry? And chemistry can come in a lot of different forms. But if you have that as a foundation, then I think you can at least start something that has some legs, and you can try to grow from there. But you know, it's so different how guys and girls approach it, which is interesting to me. It's a wonder that anyone gets together to begin with. But if you can find that kind of like initial chemistry, and it can take time, but then you at least have a foundation that you can build off of.
So what does that mean when you're doing online dating? Because, you know, some of those pictures you think, really, you don't look like that.
Right.
I mean, how can you judge online chemistry? Because it's just a verbal game. Or is there such a thing as chemistry online?
Well, I think that's actually what you need to approach online dating with, is how can you showcase your personality through text? So, you know, when you're at work and you're writing emails, you're not really trying to be charming or witty or funny. But when you're online dating, you definitely should be. You should be putting your personality out there and allowing the person who you're interacting with to do the same. And I think that is one way you can start to find, okay, there's some similarities here. And maybe with that personality kind of shining through, there are some things that will pop out. And maybe it's an activity or something that you can clue in on that could lead to an actual meeting in person and a date from there. And something that, you know, what we're all trying to find is a commonality, or maybe multiple commonalities, to show that maybe we're right for each other. But it starts with, you know, with that online personality, really bringing that to light, shining a light on your personality. And, you know, hopefully you're a good writer and a good communicator if you're doing online dating.
Well, that's a hard thing, too. You know, seriously, if I had to do online dating now, I'm the worst emailer. I get minimal information. Do you want to meet? Great. What time? You know, it's not like, I'm so excited to meet you. Like, all those pleasantries are complete, which is part of my personality. But then what does one do if they don't have that kind of vivacious text personality? How can you take a class? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, you know, there's actually a few coaches out there, and I work primarily on kind of the person-to-person social interaction, but there are other people out there that really kind of focus on that, because there's so many steps to this game, you know, and that's what makes it kind of frustrating and can be a little overwhelming for some. So if you know, aren't strong with your words, you know, get a friend that you feel might be able to help you out. Maybe take a look at some books and pull from there. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to, you know, help it out a little bit. If you don't feel confident in your own words, then maybe you can supplement it with something that will kind of pull out your personality, even if it isn't your own words.
Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? Because you're already starting something in like a Romeo, Juliet, you know, someone else is reading, you're taking lines from someone else.
I know. And, you know,
that's such a brutal thing, but it's reality, right? That's hard.
Yeah. And if you're a woman, I would encourage, you know, throw out some movie quotes from Anchorman or something like that, and a guy's going to be like, oh, that's great. And if you're a guy, maybe you throw out, you know, a quote or two from, I don't know, The Notebook or something. Like, you know, that way, you know, sorry if I'm kind of grouping too much, but I think if you're worried really about not conveying the message you want to convey with your own words, I think it's definitely okay. Just to get the ball rolling, you know. We want to kind of get through some of the initial barriers, and those initial barriers can be really tough. And you could be meant to be together. You could be soulmates, but that communication piece can be kind of tough to really identify if you're not a great written communicator.
Yeah, I can totally get that. Now, so what, so answering her question, like how many, so is it the chemistry thing that's when you finally pull the trigger on, like, yes, I will go, I will see you face to face at a coffee shop. Like what is usually the litmus test on saying yes to go and have a face-to-face date?
Yeah. Well, I'm a big believer in, you know, actions speak louder than words. And I also believe that we're constantly in competition with each other. So when it comes to online dating, it's more, it's great because there's a lot of quantity. You can choose from a lot. It's very efficient. But why waste time emailing too much when you can just go get a drink and figure out a lot more ahead of the time? So I personally, if I was coaching a guy, I would say, you know, a couple emails and then make the ask. Let's just go get coffee or go get a drink and just start there. I think that a conversation in person can go a long, long way.
Yeah, so you're kind of cutting in and out. I don't hear you very well, but what I think I heard you say, that I don't know if this sounds, Cassandra, I don't know what the sound sounds like on air, but
it sounds fine.
Okay, what I think I heard you say is that, you know, it's really for some people just moving it to the next level and saying, hey, let's actually go on a date. Because it's, like, I do agree that actions speak better than, you know, speak better than words. So
yeah.
Now let's say you move it to a face-to-face date. And, you know, my esthetician, again, I'll go back to her, she said, you know, this guy's really nice. He's really nice. And there's so many things I like about him, but I just don't feel the chemistry. But should I go out with him anyways? And what I'm hearing you say is, no, don't go out again. But should she? She's like, maybe I'm being too harsh. I don't know. I don't want to hurt his feelings. Should you still go out even though she's like, oh no chemistry?
Yeah, you know, CJ, I think you're spot on. I'm glad you can kind of read between the lines. I like to, you know, the people I work with, I like to tell them to at least do two dates because the first date, everyone's kind of nervous and you're really maybe not your best self. And sometimes that doesn't always shine through. I mean, if you know right away, sometimes you just go out and you're like, no, this isn't it. And I think it's okay, cut it off. But if you're kind of on the fence like that, give it 2-3 dates and see what can kind of evolve from there. Because when we have a lot of like emotions or adrenaline kind of running through us and we don't have a lot of experience with it, maybe we've been married for a long time, now we're kind of done with the marriage, through with the divorce, and we're trying to get back in the scene a little bit, we're rusty, you know, and it's hard to get to be judged on something that maybe we just don't have a ton of experience on, and, you know, maybe you can cut things off a little too soon. But once you know and you know, then go ahead and move on, because then you're just kind of wasting your time and wasting their time really as well.
Yeah, because she said, I mean, her big concern is she's like, I just don't know. So I feel like maybe I should give him a couple other times for exactly the reason she said. Maybe he's nervous and, you know, it's a hard scenario and he's such a nice guy. And then she said, but I'm really concerned because I'm concerned that he's going to get the wrong impression and then I'm going to be hurting him and then I don't want to do that.
Right.
I mean, it's a tough scenario, which I think that that's true, because if you go on more than one date, there's a presumption that you're enjoying it. You're signaling
right.
That you're enjoying it, which
yeah.
It may be true.
You know, and that's definitely true, but I would like to – I would hope to think that if she – clearly feels like there's no chemistry, then that other person should be picking up on that and would probably hopefully feel the same way, or at least understand when that conversation kind of comes up. So, you know, it sounds like she's really on the fence, and I think when you're presented with that position, I think you at least have to give yourself that opportunity to find out a rock-solid solution. And maybe the answer is she plans the date, she sets it up, she makes sure that she's kind of taking in control. Take him out of his element a little bit and see if that chemistry, you know, comes out. You know, I think if you kind of flip it around a little bit, you can identify some new energy that you can go off of. And if it's not there, then it's an easier conversation to have. Hey, think you're great. Would love to be friends, but I don't see us, you know, proceeding in a romantic way.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So it's like you do jujitsu. You're like, I'm flipping it around. I'm now flowing with the energy, and now I get to decide. Because then am I putting you in the best possible light where I would really like you? And if I still don't like you, then it's kind of not working for me. Which that's a great idea. Love that. I wish there were dating coaches when I was single. All right, so next up, we're going to be continuing our conversation with Tyler Young, a Seattle dating coach, and we're going to figure out when to fake it and when not to fake it on a date. And I'm not talking about what you're thinking. I'm talking about when to fake who your authentic self is and when not to. So we'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on to fireitupwithcj.com and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with CJ today. And her guest is Tyler Young. He's a dating coach. And before the break, we were talking about Mr. Right, online dating, and everything that we are talking about this month and this week. And I know she was, before the break, saying when they came back, they were going to talk about faking it. Not what you're thinking, but I'm excited to know about it. So it's very interesting. And if you do have any questions, so you can call it 248-545-7685, and I'll get those questions over to CJ for you.
Thank you so much, Cassandra. Hi, everyone. I'm CJ Liu, and welcome back. I have Tyler Young, and I wanted to ask him, you know that old adage, which is you should fake it until you make it. And I talk a lot about this with I do career coaching. I talk a lot about this with people who are interviewing for jobs. And I think it does apply to dating. We were talking in the first segment about how texting is so important now and having online communications. And what if you're not a writer? And Tyler was suggesting, hey, why don't you actually have one of your friends write it? And I thought, oh, gosh, does that feel a little bit weird? Because then isn't that person then dating really getting attracted to your friend and not you? Or I don't know. So, Tyler, what should we fake and what shouldn't we fake?
Well, you know, what's funny is that you had me start to think about, was it Cyrano de Bergerac?
Yes.
You know, where he had the poetic words that the guy was better looking. So it kind of worked out that way. Well, you know, there's a big kind of movement, I think, that now is kind of turning into, I guess, cliche, if you will, and everyone wants to be authentic. You know, I hear the word authentic used so much, and I also hear a lot of, you know, be yourself. That's like one of those things that I think everyone like tries to give as advice. Just be yourself, and you know, they'll love you for who you are. Be yourself. And I think that is all great advice. However, what if we tweak that a little bit? Instead of, you know, being yourself, why don't you try to be your best self? I think if you're really trying to be anything, be the best possible self that you can possibly be. And then beyond authenticism, I think it's more sincerity. Sincerity is what I think really connects with people. I know personally when I'm working with people, showing a bit of vulnerability can go a really long way. Because we want to show that we're also human, you know, and so when you're trying to kind of put those things together, so when I hear the word fake, it kind of freaks me out a little bit because there's certain things that, you know, yeah, you can kind of smudge here and there, white lie here and there. But I think honestly, if you're being your best self and you're being extremely sincere, hopefully those other things won't matter. And when it comes to faking until you make it, I do kind of use that as well in my coaching, but that's more for confidence. If you're not feeling like super confident and super comfortable in the situation you're in, then yes, definitely fake that until you make it. And you will, you'll get there eventually, once you get a little bit more comfortable. So, I think that those points, you know, authenticism, sincerity, not just being yourself, but being your best self. And then, you know, if you're not quite feeling it, act like you are until it gets there.
Okay, so here's what I interpreted. There's my grandma self, like the person that I am when I visit my grandma, which is my best self. It's my well-mannered self. I'm not swearing or cussing. I'm not, you know, I'm being very considerate about what I'm touching, and I'm being very polite. I'm being my best self, which I describe as my grandma self.
Okay.
Is that, you know, when you go
That's
visit your
one.
Grandma,
is
that what you mean by being your best self? What does that mean to be your best self?
Well, when we meet new people, when we go networking, when, you know, we're even hanging out with maybe a potential new friend, we try to bubble up some of the better qualities that we possess. And we all possess great qualities. And, you know, I think some people take being myself a little too literal. And, I have a friend who's single for quite a long time, and he had these qualities that he was looking for in a girl, and he wouldn't let go. He wouldn't relinquish this, like, hold on. She's got to like video games, and she's got to like to ski. And that was, like, his criteria, and it was, like, such a, like, finite, you know, approach, because it's hard to find, you know. And as soon as he kind of, like, opened that up a little bit, and, you know, because that was just him being himself. He's like, I'm putting a stake in the ground. This is who I am. And but there are other qualities that he's an avid book reader. You know, there are other interests that he had. And once he kind of bubbled up some of those other things, that kind of showed, you know, better qualities that could attract, you know, someone, a partner. And that really actually worked for him well. So I guess when I say best self, what I really mean is, you know, try to bubble up the qualities that you find are attractive in others, that you see in yourself, and really shine a light to those.
Mm-hmm. I get that. And so it's not just about being polite. It's about trying to tap into what is the – and we all have this craving to connect, and what is the thing that I have to offer that will help me connect to another person? Maybe it's my joy of reading, or, you know, joy of being outdoors, but trying to figure out at kind of a universal level and how we connect. That's what that's what I'm hearing. Is that what you meant?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So and here's my perspective. Whenever I have people who I'm coaching, I'll say, should I tell them I just lost my job and I'm really sad? I'm like, no. Why would you tell them? And some people do that on dates, right? I just broke up. And I just really don't know why. Really? Who wants to hear that on a date? You know,
right.
So I think it's, yes, you're sad and schmoopy. Like, I'm sorry you're sad and schmoopy, but at a certain level, this is a game. It's a courtship game. And if you're entering the game with, like, I'm already flawed and broken, no one.
It's going to be a much tougher. Yeah. And
don't
to take
think?
That, you're absolutely right. And I try to use a different term, because I think game makes people a little uncomfortable, because no one likes to play games. But I think of it as more of a dance, you know, and you have to kind of learn the steps a little bit. And once you do, you can actually have a lot of fun with it. I think one important thing is to remember what would you like to, if you're sitting across the table, what would you like to hear? You know, do you want to hear someone that's energetic and enthusiastic and optimistic, or do you want to hear someone's kind of sad story? And now things happen, you lose your job, that's going to be okay. But it's your attitude towards that and how you present it and how you position it, that's really what's going to come across. So, yeah, share that information if you have the right attitude about it. If you have a bad attitude about it, that's not an attractive quality, and that person is not going to find you as attractive because of it.
Yeah, and I think actually when you had said show your vulnerability, guys don't know what that means, I think.
Okay.
I mean, I think they seem like I'm sad and schmoopy from it. Like, no, this is not the vulnerability that you should keep showing.
Right.
Is that what you meant? I mean, what do you mean when you say showing your vulnerability? Is it to show all your weaknesses, or is it to show that you have an open heart? What did you mean?
Well, and I think that actually it gets misinterpreted a lot. I used to think that vulnerability equaled weakness. And what I really learned is that vulnerability actually – shows that we're human and that we have feelings and emotions. Because anyone can put on a brave face, go out there and you know, smile and talk like nothing's really going on. But you know what? We're all fighting our own battles. You know, and it what's great is that it ebbs and flows, right? That we have our ups and our downs. And that is what makes us human. And to share that will only draw in a person because they're going to understand, they're going to be empathetic, and well, hopefully they will be. And that is maybe the quickest way to make an authentic, sincere connection with someone. Once mm-hmm. I started to really open up and share, this is what I'm feeling, but with a enthusiastic or optimistic kind of position on it, I was making real connections that I was blown away by. And it turned into, I'm just, you know, talking to talk and really not really saying anything, to, oh my mm-hmm. gosh, you're human, I'm human, and we have an understanding because we're sharing real things.
You know, it's funny because I was just talking to someone who's a broadcast journalist, and he said, you know, one of the things that's the most important thing to do is connect at the human level on our human experience. And when you do that, that is the art of storytelling, and everyone loves listening to stories. So I think that that's what I'm hearing you say happens when you meet someone on a date, is that you're connecting to the thing that makes us human, our feelings, our emotions, our stories, and all that. That's pretty cool. I like that idea of kind of rethinking dating as that kind of authenticity, as our authentic human self versus this kind of fake, you know, Superman or Superwoman kind of self, which all of us feel like we have to meet. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You go, Tyler.
No, CJ, you're so great. You're so great at, like, picking up the words and taking it to the next level. That you're spot on. Fantastic.
All right. This is wonderful. Thank you so much for being here, Tyler, and offering your advice. And I have to say, I appreciate the kind of – I've been seeing a lot of this kind of, like, 10 tips to meet someone, you know, get her in bed. And I just – I find that repulsive. And I really like your dating approach. So thank you for being here, and thank you for spreading such wonderful wisdom. Thank you. And next up we have Christina Pratt sharing her thoughts on how to tap and follow your heart. Everyone's like, follow your heart, follow your heart. What does that mean? We're going to be right up next with Christina Pratt talking about following your heart and telling you what it means.